If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy to greet you again today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worth Baptist Church is preparing for the greatest summer season in all of our history. We are designating the summertime as revival time. We are praying that God will send a revival to America. We believe America's greatest need in this crucial year, our election year, our bicentennial year, we believe the most crucial need is for God to intervene and to bring a spiritual awakening to our people. So we're asking people all over the city and all over the Metroplex and all over the nation, really, to join with us in prayer that 1976 will be America's year of revival. Somehow we believe that unless revival comes to America this year, revival may never come. So the summer season will be revival time at Worth Baptist Church. We are praying every day in the month of May, which is our preparation month, that God would begin the great spiritual awakening for America right here in the city of Fort Worth. I can think of no finer place for the spirit of revival to begin than in the city of Fort Worth. It is a city of churches and churchmen. It is a city that's had a great opportunity to hear the gospel. So we're believing God and trusting God and asking God to send revival to America and to begin the work right here in the city of Fort Worth. We want you to join with us in this endeavor. In the meanwhile, we would invite you to come and visit with us here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church has but one textbook, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. We are currently in a series of studies in the book of the Revelation. There's no finer book in all the Bible for the 20th century than the book of the Revelation. We believe the Revelation has the outline of history, all written in advance. We believe the things that are going to transpire upon the earth are all written in the book of the Revelation. So we're looking forward to our study today in the Revelation chapter 8. We'd be happy to have you and your family come and visit with us in our Sunday school at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11. And our Sunday evening worship service is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. Again, the motto of the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday School to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. God's Word is infallible and inspired. God's Word has the answer to the many perplexing problems that confront us as a nation today. What will be the outcome of all of the decisions that must be made in the elections in 1976? I'll tell you this, these things will not come as a surprise to God, because God knows the end from the beginning. In fact, God knows everything. He is omnipotent, He is omniscient, and He is omnipresent. God has all of these things in His own hands, and God will execute His will. And I'm hoping that Americans will be willing for God's will to be done in national affairs, in individual and local affairs, in all of the affairs of our nation and of our lives. Only one thing really matters, and that's the will of God. Let me ask you a question, my friend. Are you desirous that the will of God be done in your life? Are you praying that whatever you do will glorify Jesus Christ? You see, my friend, if your life is in the will of God, and if what you do glorifies Jesus Christ, nothing else really matters. So let's pray that God's will would be done. And let's pray that whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever it is, we would glorify Jesus Christ. There are two very special announcements I want to share with you. On Sunday, June the 6th, we will have our Revival Rally Day. This will be the thrust, the beginning of the great summer season of revival here at Worth Baptist Church. So we invite you to plan now to be with us on Revival Rally Day, Sunday, June the 6th. And then on July the 4th, our Bicentennial God and Country Day. We are fortunate to have Mrs. Barbara Law on July 4th to sing for us. She has sung in operas both in America and in Europe. She sang for us last Sunday. You'll be hearing some of her songs on this broadcast in the next few weeks. Mrs. Barbara Law will be with us on Sunday, July 4th, and we're looking forward to a tremendous God and Country Day. We want you to mark these two dates, that Sunday, June the 6th, for Revival Rally Day, and Sunday, July 4th, for God and Country Day. These are important days here at Worth Baptist Church. Not only that, but on Sunday, June the 6th, we will launch a summer enlargement program. I mean by that, we will be enlarging our Sunday school. We will be bringing men to Christ as never before during these days of the summer. So mark those dates. Then another very special week, not only here in our church, but many churches across the city of Fort Worth and throughout the World Baptist Fellowship across the nation. Sunday, June the 27th through Sunday, July 4th has been designated as a nationwide week of prayer. Mark those dates. Sunday, June the 27th through Sunday, July 4th, a national week of prayer. And we're calling on preachers and churches all over America to pray for revival. So we trust that you'll mark these announcements and that you'll come and visit with us here at Worth Baptist Church. In the meantime, we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Christ the Head Over All Things. I shall read from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for Thy blessed and timeless Word. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior. We thank Thee for the Lord's Day. And we pray that all over our nation today, men's hearts might be turned to Thee. We bring before Thee the needs of our city. We claim the city for Christ. And we claim revival in the summertime. And ask that those fires of revival would begin to burn in our own hearts and in this church and in this city and around the nation. We pray, Heavenly Father, for every listener today, especially for our aging friends, our senior citizens, our shut-in ones. We pray that this broadcast would bless them. And dear Lord, may it bring many people to Christ is our prayer. In His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 15, Paul writes, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I call your attention again to the last part of verse 22. And gave Him to be the head over all things. My message is entitled, Christ, the Head Over All Things. Now I want you to observe with me three things that characterize the position of Jesus Christ as head over all things. First, as head over all things, Jesus Christ administers God's providential government. Everything that God has ever decreed has been executed by Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 1 at verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, after that He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You see, my friend, everything that God has ever done, He has done it through Jesus Christ. There is but one way that God has ever approached man, and that's been through His Son, Jesus Christ. And there is only one way for man to approach Christ, to approach God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. At the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Red Sea rolled back its waters and made a path for the children of Israel to cross on dry land. At the command of Jesus Christ, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all the men who joined him in rebellion against God and against God's man. At the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, fire fell from heaven and devoured the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. And Elijah said, the Lord God, Jehovah, is our God. At the command of Jesus Christ, savage lions restrained their thirst for blood and gave Daniel a place to lie down in peace. At the command of Jesus Christ, a raging fire turned into a cool breeze in the fiery furnace of Babylon. And the children, the Hebrew children, came out without even smelling of smoke. At the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, vicious bears came out of the woods and devoured those who made fun of the prophet of God. At the command of Jesus Christ, a great fish swallowed Jonah and sent him swirling through the depths of the sea, only to be delivered on the other side and go to Nineveh and preach repentance. At the command of Jesus Christ, the ravens fed Elijah breakfast every morning and supper every night. At the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fierce waves of Galilee ceased their flowing and the little ship made its way safely to the other side. These are some of the things, my friend, that God has executed through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ administers God's government. Jesus Christ is in control today. He is not struggling for a place of power or a position of prominence in God's economy. No, Jesus Christ is already the preeminent one. In His hand, with His authority, Jesus Christ is doing all things today. So, as the head over all things, our Lord Jesus Christ is executing God's divine will and His providential government. Not only that, but in the second place, as head over all things, our Lord Jesus Christ administers God's program of evangelism. What is God's program of evangelism? Jesus Himself sets it forth in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28 at verse 18. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ said, all power. Did you get that? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Did you get that? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things. Did you get that? All things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world, or unto the end of the age. Now this is God's program of evangelism, and no man can improve upon what God has already ordained. You see, God ordained His church to carry the gospel around the world. Notice three things about God's program of evangelism as related to Jesus Christ. First of all, the source of God's program of evangelism. Who is the source? Why, the source is Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bread of life, the water of life, the true and living one. It was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who said, "All power is given into my hand." So Jesus is the source of it, not this church or some other church or that organization or some other organization, but the source of God's program of evangelism for 1976 is Jesus Christ. Not only that, but the scope has to do with what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world." So the scope is the world. Jesus said, beginning at Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the scope of God's program of evangelism is not one city, or one state, or one nation, or one continent. The scope is the world. Jesus said, "Go into all nations and teach and preach the gospel." And then the third thing about God's program of evangelism is the security of it. Who is the security? The very promise of Jesus. Jesus said, "You go, and lo, I am with you always." That is the security. When we go to evangelize the world, whether it's across the street or across the sea, Jesus Christ has promised to go with us. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, but go with you all the way." So as the head over all things, Jesus Christ administers God's program of evangelism. In the third place, as head over all things, Jesus Christ administers God's plan for your life. God has a blueprint, a plan, a pattern, a program for your individual life. You might say, "But who am I?" Well, you are made in God's image and in God's likeness. You're God's creature. You're God's creation. God has a plan for your life. It is God's will for you to be saved. I read in 2 Peter 3:9, "God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all," did you get that? "That all should come to repentance and live." It is God's will for you to be saved. Not only that, but it's God's will for you to serve Him in the church. I read in Psalm 100 and verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness." It is God's will for you to worship in the church. In Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." It is God's will for you to be in church today. It is God's will for you to bring your family, if you're the only one in your family, for you to bring yourself to the house of God, where God's word is taught, where the gospel is preached, where God's people meet together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Not only that, but it is God's will for you to share your faith. Jesus Christ says to you, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It is God's will for you to share in the financial program of the church. I read in Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse." Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Full measure, pressed down, running over, shall men dump into your lap." Yes, it is God's will for you to share, and for you to give, and for you to invest your money, and your time, and your energy in the program of Christ through the ministry of the church. You see, God created you for fellowship with Himself. God saved you for your own good and for the glory of Jesus Christ. God stakes His claim upon your life for His service today, my friend. Your body, if you are a Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body belongs to Him. I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Everything that you have, your time, your energy, your money, your strength, everything that you have belongs to Him. God has put you on a lend-lease program. God has made you a steward. And a steward must give an account of how he spends God's time, God's money, and God's talent, and God's energy. Yes, everything. Consider your time for a moment. In the book of Job, chapter 14, at verse 5, it is written, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee." My friend, God has the number of your days. He knows how long you're going to live. Not only that, but your talent comes from him. In fact, James says in chapter 1, verse 17, that every good and every perfect gift cometh from God. Consider your money, your tithe, as a Christian. It is God's tithe in reality. God's tithe belongs in the storehouse. God's tithe belongs to him. Leviticus 27:30. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Yes, my friend, God through Jesus Christ is administering the plan that he has for your life. Jesus Christ is head over your life. He's the Lord. He's the Master. He's the Savior. And you must one day, as a Christian, give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Jesus put it this way, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." My friend, the only way for you to be happy is to submit to the will of God and permit Jesus Christ to administer the plan and program of your life. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. Jesus Christ is head over your life, and nothing will be right until you surrender everything to him. As we leave the broadcast today, let me say to you, if you are lost, I bid you bow your head now. Pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, and your heart and life is out of tune with God, why not pray now? Ask God's forgiveness. Resolve in your heart that you'll come back to God and back to the church and back to Christ even today. May I remind you that until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well. And the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.